All right. So good to see everybody. I saw Lynn. Lynn from Papa's Pantry is over here in the back. Just give her a hand. Encompass Ministries. We're going to start changing. So it is Encompass Ministries. Amen. Because they encompass a lot of stuff that they do. So thank you for letting us use her facility this morning. And she goes, I'm so grateful that y'all get to use. She goes, now our building is being used every single day of the week for the gospel, for the things of God. So it's awesome. So we just appreciate being part of that vision. That's awesome. So I'm going to invite my panel this morning, and that's Julie, Craig Hobson, Jessica, and Brian Jardine. Where's Brian Jardine at? Brian, where's Brian? Oh, yeah, come on up. When I say invite, that means invite to up here to join me. So, pick your seat. There's no assigned seats, guys.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Craig check.
Is this Janine's mic?
How y'all doing this morning? Mike. Good to see you. Michael Jordan's in the house.
Do you not have a mic?
Oh, here.
You didn't know we had our own Michael
Jordan,
did you?
I'll use this one. Is that okay? Am I on? Am I good?
You're on.
Am I good? Hello. So, all right. So, here's the deal. It is 2020, and we've been talking about over the last few weeks that our theme for our year is grow. Everybody say grow.
Grow.
So we are going to grow in 2020. And y'all be gosh, I'm talking. That's why I called you up here, so I can keep an eye. I know, I kept an eye on you guys. So here's the deal. In order for us to grow into all that God's called us to do, even in our gifts and our talents, we talked about this. We said that the DNA, right? We talked about the little seed that we showed for the gigantic sequoia tree over in California. That little bitty seed produced that giant 380-foot tall tree. That little bitty seed. And we talked about that it's because of the DNA in that seed that produced that the potential for that tree was in that seed all the time. But that seed went into the ground. It did its deal. God provided the life, right? And we grew. It grew. Amen? So the same way in you, there is DNA in you. There is potential in you. That God, as He breathes His life on that DNA, He'll produce what God's intended to produce. Amen? And so, but unless, we talked about, just because there's potential doesn't mean anything's going to happen. Just because Paul told Timothy, he says, that gift that you got, he says, give yourself wholly to it so that your progress will be evident to all. So that everybody will see your progress. Meaning then, if you don't give yourself wholly to it, no one will ever know the potential that you have. That's the hard truth, right? And then we said, whatever you give yourself to, whatever you give yourself wholly to, that's what's going to grow. So I confessed in my own life about how much I know about football. I know way too much about football. Football is not going to have any bearing. Like, God is not going to care what the Falcons' record is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's not even going to care what the Patriots' record is in heaven. Mm. He's not even going to believe what the Cowboys' records are going to. We're going to have people. We had people leave the church last week. So awesome. I told you, I don't care. I don't care anymore. So just preaching truth. So it doesn't matter. Just the potential. Just the potential is just potential. But what we're called to do is give ourselves wholly to it. And what we talked about in the last couple of weeks, the number one thing we need to give ourselves wholly to is our relationship with God. Because God breathes life. It is God that gives life, right? And so here's the truth that we want to discuss this morning. And here's the thing that we want to attack this morning. Here's the elephant in the room. Are you ready? Almost nobody has a consistent, personal, quiet time with the Lord. Can we just say it? Almost nobody has their own personal time with the Lord. If we were to do a poll, not in this church, because like it'd be like 100%, like all of us. But I'm talking about the church down the street, so that we can help. Amen? No, it's true. It's true. Hardly anybody has personal quiet time. And let me just say, your personal quiet time with God is essential. Essential. It's a non-negotiable for your growth in God. From what happens to most believers is we go from experience to experience. We have an experience on a Sunday morning and God really touched. Like some of you, God really touched, right? But if we're not careful, we won't have another encounter with God until next Sunday. Or if we miss the Sunday, then the following Sunday. Or if we miss two Sundays in a row, then we just have to, like, we need to repent all over again, right? Like, so as far as growth, I don't want to just leave that and just say, well, you know, everybody just figure it out. You know, and personal quiet time, like everyday quiet time with God, is really for those people in ministry. Well, that's not true. We're all called to relationship with God. We're all called to have a relationship with God. And so I got these guys up here as the Holy Spirit led me to, the reason why these guys are up here is just because I asked the Lord and these are the people that God asked me to do. Amen? So I want to hear from them. I got some questions for these guys, much like Sunday school this morning. Oh my gosh. So we had 50 questions in our Sunday school class this morning. It was Sunday school this morning. So what I want to do, are we all on the same page? How many of y'all want to grow? How many, look, seriously, like whenever we say, like, hardly anybody, get off, go sit down. Whenever we talk about personal growth, whenever we talk about your own personal relationship with God, it's always this weird condemnation thing. It's like, oh yeah, oh my gosh. It's almost like soul winning. As soon as you hear the word soul, oh my gosh, here we go. Like, why did I come this Sunday? You know, this is how we're going to grow, right? We all want to have a personal relationship with God. We all want to have a closer personal relationship with God. Well, what does that look like? How can we start implementing that kind of thing in our lives on a practical, really practical basis? Amen? Because we're going to grow this year. Amen? You with me? All right, panel. So just down the line, I want to ask, how long have you been, like, let's say you're full committed to God. Like, how long have you been kind of walking with God? Just years down the road as you go. Go ahead, Julie.
I had an encounter with God and gave my life to Jesus when I was 13. So that is, do the math.
Oh, don't tell him how old you were. I didn't say that.
15 years ago.
I didn't tell you.
15.
I have, it's hard. There's not a point in my life where I feel like I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, 35 years. But I would say, like, yeah, I would think I was 12 when it first, like, on a consistent on my own, and then 26 was another time that there was, like, a new, those are kind of mile markers. So 35 years or 33 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, that's bad.
Okay.
But a while.
Yeah, a while. Yeah. Ryan?
I'd say somewhere close to 26 years.
Okay.
On and off, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the last 15 years, just like.
All in.
All in.
Yeah. Craig?
48 years.
I'm
old.
And so, oh my goodness, I'm just asking questions. So I was 21, so that's what? How old am I? 39 years, is that right? 29 years.
Yeah.
30 years, about 30 years. So, yeah, so that's a long time for all these people. And I don't know where to go with that. Oh, my goodness. So there's a lot of, would you guys say that there's been a lot of, like, ups and downs and like, there's been some great seasons and some terrible seasons? Would you say that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we talk about time with God, like, time with God, prayer time, devotional time, what exactly are we talking about? That's the first question. What exactly are we talking about? So just put your mic up and we'll, your first moment with the mic up goes. Okay, yes, somebody. You know, we didn't plan this out.
Interesting was when we knew what we were going to discuss, basically, I started thinking, you know, where in the Bible does it talk about a quiet time?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not there. But let's go into the Word a little deeper. The Word, you know, in Psalm 5:3, early in the morning you will hear my voice, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 68, Psalm 119. We can go on and on and on. All through the Word, it talks about early in the morning I will come to the Lord. At midnight I will praise your name. I will seek you in the morning. I will seek you. I will, if you seek him, you will find him. All through the Word of God, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus says in the New Testament, he went out to seek the Lord. So a quiet time, as you think about a quiet time, quote-unquote a quiet time, really my question to myself was this. Well, Craig, do you, you know, when I became a Christian at 11, I'll go quick and I'll be done on this. When I became a Christian at 11, I was an odd bird. I picked up my Bible and started reading it.
Yeah.
I really met Jesus.
Yeah.
I really, and through the years, I really want to know Jesus. And I brought some, I'm not going to even show them. I started looking at my Bible readings. I went back to 2008, and I can show you all these. I got all these things where I read. I find whatever I'm finding. I got this out of a Baptist church. I see all these. I mean, I just, the marks, that means I've read that. Yeah. I read through the Bible, try to read through the Bible every year. I just finished this one December 31st again. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. My deal is I want to spend time with God.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's the one that said, Margaret, do you want to spend time with? I mean, he changed my life as an 11-year-old kid. And so because of that, I wanted to spend time with God. But I go in the Bible and I don't sit pastor. I don't go,
yeah.
Well, you know, have your daily quiet time. And I think if we make it a duty, let's get right. Throw the word
right.
Out.
Right. Come on. That's good.
Let's throw duty out and let's say, God, I want to know who you are.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to
that's
know
the
you.
Heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my heart. I just want to know God. That's why I read the word. Through almost every single year. Now, listen, I'll show you some years I didn't make it. But in those years, man, I'm seeking God still. Mm-hmm. And I don't beat myself up because in the morning I didn't seek him. But you know what? God says to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going to shut up. But you see where I'm going. I mean, man, if we love God, it's not a duty. It's a, I want to. And it doesn't have to, you know, early. The great thing about early in the morning is be still and know that I'm God. When you're still and you're quiet, you can hear the voice of the Lord early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do, and sometimes I'll just worship him and I'll sing. I'm not Jane Benchley, but I'll sing. I'll do whatever. Just, God, I want to know you. I want to know. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Like, what, when we talk about that, what do we mean when we say our devotional time, our prayer time? What exactly are we talking about? You're talking about reading the Word and getting in the Word,
yeah,
and seeking
I,
after
yeah,
God.
What I do is just read the Word every day. I mean, I just read the Word. Here's my, this is this year's. I've already started this year's, okay? And I'm not,
yeah.
I'm just saying, I've already started. I just found something online. I've got all kinds of, wherever I'm found, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I just start reading the Word. And the thing about having something that helps you, it's a guide. It's just a guide. It's not a condemnation to me. It's a guide.
Yeah.
And if I don't make it, I don't make it. It's not about, did I complete it? It's about, man, God, I want to spend time with you. So, hey, I've got a guide that should just help me out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just a guide just to kind of, oh, okay, today I'm going to read Mark chapter 7, 8, and 9. And if all I get is chapter 7, great. So it's just doing something.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
With intention to get to know the voice of God.
No, I think that's really good when you said it's doing something on purpose. Because a lot of times we think it is reading.
Mm-hmm.
And or it is that morning quiet time. I'll be honest, morning quiet time for me will just be extra sleep. If I attempt to, I mean, let's be real. Like, I'm going to snuggle up in my chair and drink my coffee, and then in 20 minutes I'll wake up and have to get ready.
that never happens.
Right. So, but I think intentionality is really important. And it's not always the reading. It could be, I know, and so for me, when I did grad school, I went to seminary. So, there was a large portion of my life, like 90%, was in God's Word. I mean, let's just be real honest. I was in school for God's Word. And I remember they told us very distinctly, like week one, like if you don't have a personal set apart time apart from your studies, you're going to crash and burn. And I wish I had heeded that quicker. because you start to get like, well, I have to read these chapters, I have to study this, and you're like, that should count. I keep looking at you because you might relate, Craig. But it started becoming like Tuesdays with Jesus for me, to where I didn't do any schoolwork apart from just going to classes. And I spent the day running my errands, or I spent the day like in a conscious, intentional conversation with the Lord.
That's good.
And that was something that it met a season. I don't think that's a lifestyle forever, but it met a season because I was getting fed with the Word in my school. And I was attending church regularly and having worship, and I was having private worship and stuff. But just like communing and having thoughts towards Him and listening for His thoughts towards me, that was a season I needed that intentionality time to be. So for me, and I want to just release for you guys, like there can be creativity if you're already in God's Word in another aspect, like you're studying for whatever reason, but you're not getting that one-on-one communal, like what is He saying to me about life? Like what am I trying to say? It can become academic, right? It can become academic of if I got to read these chapters, or I got to pray these prayers, or pray this prayer list. But like, if you were to go on a date with someone, or you were to go have coffee with a friend, you're not going to sit down to a checklist of conversation and think that that's going to form any sort of intimacy. And so I'm not negating the checklist. I mean, I read currently right now through a Bible plan study off of YouVersion, but there still has to be that time where you are going, okay, so what are you saying to me? Apart from this, apart from the text, or apart from the worship songs I've heard over and over, what are you saying to me? Because He does have unique things to say to us, and so that may look different.
That's good. That's good. So let's talk about, let's move to our next one. Like, so talk about what your life has looked like during seasons of consistency and times of inconsistent personal time with God. Like, talk about how that all works together. Ryan?
Craig says I need to go. Yeah. So what it looks like
with times of consistency and consistency and non-consistency.
So for me, it's a bit different because I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
I'm a creative, you know, I get my ideas at 9 p.m. and then Sharon's like, you know, she's like the landing gear's down and she's like going, you know, and she's like, can we talk about this tomorrow? I'm like, no, it's like, you know, hard off the press, but
yeah, we're just saying, yeah, totally.
So for me, morning, quiet time in the morning never worked, because for me, when I tried to do quiet time in the morning, I wasn't ready to listen to God, so I had to find other ways. So in season and out of season, for me, it looked like there were times where I really needed God's help with things, where I really needed to counseling from the Holy Spirit. And I mean, when I was still working, you know, I work for myself, so I don't get to drive a commute, yay. But I also don't get to like spend time with like worship music on in the car and praying like I used to. So when there was a time where I was like waiting for my immigration papers to come through, and you know, it was a really crunch time because I was, you know, basically going to be out of status, and I needed to really trust God. And like, I would use that time in the car, you know, turn off the radio, maybe put on a worship song, and just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray.
Yeah.
But then there's times where I feel like my relationship with God is like just a cool, relaxed, awesome relationship.
Yeah.
Like, we talk all day long. So I feel like I talk with God all the time. Whether I might be working, I might have just got off a business call, and I'm like, you know, God, I get to do this. This is awesome. Thank you. And that connection is there. So for me, I don't set aside a structured, quiet time, but I will do that if there's a deep dive. So if I want to go into something, and, you know, maybe you're talking about faith, or you're talking about, you know, just love, like just how our love walk is, I want to go do a deep dive into that. And I want to say, like, what does the Bible actually say about that? Then I might spend 3 hours on that.
Yeah.
But I don't make this structured, restrictive thing for me because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Sharon is much more structured, so she pulls it off. But that's not me.
Yeah.
Let me reiterate on mine. I don't do it every. It's not like every single morning. Mine might be at noon. Mine might be at a break. Mine be at 6:30 at night. 9 o'clock at night. It's not like every morning I'm, on my face before God doing the duty. I just do it whenever I get the shot in the day, in the 24-hour period, somewhere I'm going to be. But listen, all day long, it's an all-day long.
Sure,
that's
sure.
What I love about it. It's all day,
sure.
All day long.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, and so in my life, I've had seasons where I've been very consistent because I'm more of a structured person. I like order in my life.
What?
And I know, believe it or not. And so I like order. And so when I am consistent in my daily kind of time of seeking the Lord, even if it's just like 10 or 15, just a short period of time, what I find is that all throughout the day, I'll talk to God more, and my reactions to things are completely different.
Right.
Emotionally, I'm not so up and down. Exactly. My perspective is clear. Like, it's almost like there's days where you can feel like, I don't know if anybody's ever felt drowning, like you're drowning in life and the stuff that's happening. If you've ever had a big fight in your something you're battling through for your marriage or for a kid or for a job or depression or whatever, you can feel like you're drowning. And I've had battles where I've been fighting where I feel like I'm drowning, and that's the only thing that will keep my, I feel like I'll be like right here above the water when I spend time with God. Like, I can finally breathe again, and then like everything that's going on will begin to kind of like, I'll go under and then I'll spend some time with God and then he can kind of breathe again. So, but all the different seasons of my life, when I was young, when I first got saved, there was a teaching out there by a guy, his name was Larry Lee, and he talked about, could you not tarry 1 hour? That was like the big deal teaching when way back in the 80s. And so I was a teenager, and I heard that, and it was like, yeah, I could do that. So I began getting up earlier in the morning, and he had a whole little thing that you kind of, a little prayer map thing that you would kind of pray through and spend time with God. And but what began to happen is the more I spent time with God, the more I would hear him. And then all these crazy things started happening in my life. Like, I'm seeing visions and seeing spiritual things. God's doing things through me. My perspective is changing. I'm hearing words at 13, 14, 15 years old. I'm praying for people and they're getting healed and like all this stuff. And it was because I was just taking that time and spending it with God. And then life gets busy and whatever, you get distracted and that time will go down or be non-existent. And I never quit following God, but that time would back off. But as I have seasons where I'm pressing into God like every day and setting aside time that this is God, this is me and you, this is just me and you, man, everything is different.
Yeah.
Everything is different. It's so fruitful. And so, yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So, I know for me that, when I'm not having, for me, and I feel like, can I just share, be honest? So at the end of last year, I was still reading my word, still doing what I needed to do. But it was just, it was kind of just the mundane. Amen? Can we just say sometimes it's mundane, right? Sometimes you're just doing it, right? Just do it. But I could feel myself, it was almost like I was slipping into, I was starting to operate out of residual anointing, right? Anointing that I had from before, right? You know what I'm saying? And not real fresh, and I would step. I remember just stepping up into the pulpit and God would just use me and I would speak and I was like, wow, that was really good. Thank you for your grace. Yeah, thank you for your grace. But just personally just going through some stress, just that kind of stuff. And really just the reminder, when you're in the middle of like super stressful thing, and maybe it's not the obvious, it's just kind of the everyday life kind of stress, right? That you get, and you don't even realize how much stress you're under, Julia says, I could tell, I was your wife, so I was praying for you. I was like, oh, I love it, thank you. But But just that idea that you can feel that stress and that worry and that anxiety just from everyday life, right? And if we're not in the Word and we're not receiving God's presence, a fresh, I call it fresh bread. You know, I'm not eating the old stale bread that I had, you know, that was left over from a month ago. But I'm having fresh bread, like Jesus is the bread of life, right? Getting fresh bread, fresh revelation, fresh, you know, understanding, and fresh, you know, just the wonderful, refreshing thing from God, you know. If I'm not doing that, man, for me, stress will, like, start creeping up in my life, like, slowly. And it's not till, man, I wish you could catch it after the first, you know, couple of days, but, man, it will all of a sudden, you're like, oh, like, you know, my whole life is, you know, you feel the weight and the pressure, right? So for me, if I don't, I know it. I mean, I know right away. Let me just break off the, you know, it's for full-time people in ministry and people that are platform ministry and all this other, you know, people who are, oh, they're just really specially anointed. Like they're, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no, it's everyday life. It's everyday manna for every day, for your work, for your marriage, for your the way you treat your kids, for knowing about your future. You guys are in college, knowing what's going to happen next for you and in your life, right? It's knowing all those things and having God give you that fresh perspective on life, right? So,
well, can I add, yeah, speaking towards consistency and stuff, and often I find myself, so I'm just going to speak for myself, I will live my spiritual, devotional life, often like the United States deals with its healthcare. We go to the doctor to get healthy, not to stay healthy.
Right.
And what do I mean by that is that I'm saying you can't just all of a sudden your life's falling apart and then randomly flip through your Word and hope that you land on the right scripture in that moment and that fixes everything.
That's so good.
Is He faithful? 100%. Will He show up in those moments? Absolutely. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will too. But I have to remember, I have to consistently stay in it because I don't see the storms coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when I'm going to need to pull on something in my day or the next day that I've sowed into. You said this, I think it was last week. You know, sometimes we get into the Word or we get into worship or something and you just don't feel it, you know, the warms and fuzzies or... You know, but that doesn't mean, like, we don't eat lunch just when we're hungry sometimes. Like, it's that you feed yourself because you know you're going to need to draw from it at another time.
Right.
And too often I'll get beyond it and it'll go a day or two and then I'm just like, oh, I can already tell I need it and it's not there to draw from. And so that's just something that you're proactive in your life of knowing that, yeah, the enemy's going to come against you, the world's going to come against you, you're going to come against yourself. And you have to have a reservoir to pull, yeah, from that you've poured into.
Yeah. Brian, tell them that story. I want to get into, like, maybe some experiences that you've had in your own personal prayer time. And talk about, like, what you shared with the youth last week about, yeah.
Yeah, so the question was, how do I know, like, when to talk to somebody about Jesus? Right?
Yeah.
How do I know? Was that the question?
Yeah, that was the question. There.
It was like, how do I know when to say something or pray for someone or minister to someone or, you know, just do the work of Jesus? And so I came up and I shared the story. When I got saved, I was a teenager. I was 14. And right away, I just, like, connected with all the leaders who were in the church, and, you know, there was laying on of hands, and there was, like, the gifts of the Spirit, and I got, like, 100% into it. I loved it, because for me, like, if there's no power in something, then I'm just not interested, right? The religion of it all does not attract me.
Yeah.
So we were at, and this is where Sharon and I met, we were at the youth. Now, this was a big church in South Africa. It was a, how many members? Yeah, it's the second largest church in South Africa.
So it's just barely a mega church, is what you're telling me.
Just barely a mega church. You know, like people like Marilyn Hickey used to go there. Jesse Plantis used to go there. David, the pastor was on David Yonggi Cho's board.
Right, right.
Okay, so this was like a serious church with serious musicians. Hillsong used our band's recording on their second album. Like, that's how good this church was in terms of, like, excellence and all that. Mm-hmm. So you'd imagine the youth was massive. And we had hundreds of kids. And for some reason, there was one night that they decided to have heavy metal music and headbanging. And we're all just, like, scratching our heads, like, what's going on here? You know, this is, like, really weird. But anyway, we just stayed there because we were just, so many of us were just on fire for Jesus, and we were just, we could hear from the Holy Spirit. And that night, at the end of the craziness, the youth pastor went up there and said, hey, guys, you know, because I think he was just taken aback. He wasn't expecting that. They must have had some other agreement, and that's what happened. And he came up there, he's like, okay, well, if anyone has a word to share, please come up here. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, go up there. So as I told the youth, my system with God is no. And then he goes, go up there. And I go, no. And then he says, go up there. And I go, okay. So it's usually like three times. So yeah, it's very Asian.
Three times, yeah.
So anyway, I went up there and I didn't make any sense at all. I was like, Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're wanting me to say about this. This was horrible. This is not glorifying God. Anyway, I invite you guys to come to this church. Okay, bye. So I got off the stage and I walked to the back and I was just standing there going, this is just a weird night. And this young girl came up to me and she says, hey, can I talk to you? So I said, yeah, okay. So she shared with me how she was in just this dark, dark place. And she came to this thing because she liked heavy metal music. And she shared with me that she was contemplating suicide. And what I shared with her, which I don't remember, she pulled something out of that, right, from the Holy Spirit. And it was hope. And it was a future. And I prayed the sinner's prayer. She was the first person I led to the Lord. And I remember in that moment just realizing who God really is.
Yeah, yeah.
That when we start to dictate when God can move mm-hmm. is when we've missed it. And when we start to question God's ability to move mm-hmm. in any situations where we missed it. But the reason I shared it with them was when you know God's voice, you'll know when to minister.
Right, right.
And you're not going to know God's voice without a devotional time, right. Without a time just seeking God and saying, Lord, what are you saying to me today? What do I need to hear from you? And go into the Word. If you're not hearing from God, that's His Word right there. Just read in. Just read it. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So, but yeah. That's why I share.
That's good. That's good. It's important. Like the time that you have in private, you know, it helps, like, you learn, your wording was, I learned how to hear from the Holy Spirit in my prayer life, in my prayer time. So, all right, let's talk about the mundane. Let's talk about the mundane. Like, I don't know, maybe Craig, maybe this doesn't apply to you, but not everybody's prayer life, like, every day or every time will have, like, this mountaintop, like, you see angels, you see, like, you know, I was caught up into the third heaven, and you know, I saw things that I, you know, like Paul says, right? Like, I think can't even speak up, whatever. But like, not every time is like that. So talk about Craig. I'll let you talk about that. Talk about just the mundane, like just the act of doing it, and the importance of, like, you're obviously consistent at some degree or another, reading the Bible through in a year.
Yeah, I mean. I do, and listen, I wish I could say every single day I wake up, it's like, oh. Be honest with you, most days really are that way. I mean, they really are. I'm a freak, though, okay? So, but I think the reason why is because through the years early on in my life, when I wasn't real consistent, I'd have those up and down days, and when it becomes mundane is when I haven't spent time with the Lord. And then when I try to come back, spend time. Then it becomes mundane with me. As I've gotten older and spent more time with, maybe because I'm older and I don't care about anything else anymore, but just knowing God. Maybe it's because of age. I think age is my, so I'm probably not the guy to look to. But age, over time, I've learned that every time I get in the Word, and what they've said is unbelievably correct, is that when you spend time with the Lord that day, it you can breathe.
Yeah.
And when you don't in the mornings, sometimes I say, and sometimes all I've got is hit my knees before I have to walk out the door. And seek the Lord, just hit my knees, you know. But if you don't, if going to the Lord helps you through that day, and yeah, there's been times in the past when it was, you know, you're going through the motions, but it's inevitable, and you guys can maybe add to this. Every time you spend time with the Lord, I've noticed every time I spend time with the Lord, it's like almost that day, something comes up in a conversation. I've done a lot of work in the construction field a lot. Mm-hmm. Construction guys don't always walk with Jesus. I'm just telling you. I know you're shocked. One summer I worked in Kentucky all summer long, and we lived on the property we worked at. We worked 14-hour days. One weekend we worked 75 hours in 3 days. So, and these guys can. I learned some new language. But guess what? I was the guy they came to.
Right.
I was the guy they would come to and cry in the middle of the night. Drunks, guys that. I mean, older guys that were struggling with life and going through divorces, guys that were mixed up with all kinds of stuff. I was the guy they came to and talked to in the middle of the night. I was that guy. And so I look at it like this. What an opportunity God's given me to know Him. Yeah. He loved me. And so if God loves me that much, I want to know what He has to say. Why? Because what He has to say, I can maybe share with people that needed, and it was inevitable. I would have read something that day or the night before, and the next day these people come to me, and I go, well, you know, the Word says, that happened this week.
Wow.
I was in the Word, it happens every week. I was in the Word this week, and I was reading something about Isaac, you know, Jacob and Isaac, and all that, you know, I was in Genesis. And I was over at a guy's house 2 days ago, a friend of mine ministered to him. I was actually working for him, and all of a sudden I stopped, and I just put my stuff down, walked over and sat down with him and started talking to him, and I'm not going to get into the details. But as I'm talking to him, the Holy Spirit said, well, remember what you read even yesterday and then, you know, maybe 2 months ago and then yesterday or maybe that morning? He goes, you can share that with him. I go, oh, and by the way, I was talking to this guy's name was David. I said, David, you know, I was in the Word, and you know what Jesus says? You know what His Word says? And able to tell him His Word. Listen, my words, this is my words. Womp, 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 womp. This is God's words. Nothing is impossible with God.
Yeah.
So I want to give them God's word, not Craig's word. Mm-hmm. So I was able to pull from where I had
That's
spent
so good.
Time with the Lord to
it's
share
really
with Him the things of God. Because He needs to hear what God has to say about his situation and not what Craig has to say about his situation.
Yeah, that's so good. Julie, let me ask you this question. So let me just ask you what, I've known you for a long time, what has worked and what has not worked for you?
Okay, that's a great question. So what's worked, I guess, let me add another category. What's worked for a while, and then quit working, and then what's not worked.
Okay. Right.
So there, and really, you can have, like, when I was young and we did the Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour, that prayer regimen thing, that was really great for a while. And then after a while, it became like just the thing that I did. And then it was almost became like a checklist of something that I just did so then I could get to do the next thing that I needed to do that day. Right. That's what it does. That's when it quits working. Because, so this is the analogy I got this morning when I was praying about this, is I know most of everybody here has been on Facebook at different times in your life, and whether you're on it now or whatever. But you remember they started doing a couple years ago that thing where your friend anniversary thing would pop up, where like you became friends with so-and-so on this day, and then they have all the little pictures of you and them together, and you're in that little boat or whatever weird that, why they do that, I don't know. But I mean that boat thing, but they have it, okay? So the analogy is this, is that you and God have a start date that you became friends, right, that you knew each other and you met each other. Me and God, we have a start date to our relationship, where I surrendered my life to him when I was 13 years old. And then over all those years, we have these moments where we're together. And sometimes it's been at retreats, at events, at conferences on Sunday mornings. Sometimes it's been in my quiet time when it's just me and him. But we have all these moments in our story. Because really, my life is not my story. It's our story because I live for him. And so God and I, this my life is our story. At 13, I met him, and then all these things have happened. And so devotional time or quiet time or whatever you want to call it, reading our Bible, all those things, when it doesn't work is because it's not part of your story. It's something that we do to check, relieve guilt, or it's something we do to get, you know, whatever, earn God's approval, or because we feel bad or whatever. But our quiet time is because, God, like Craig said, I love you. And God, I want to know you more. I'm going to just, let me just take a couple of minutes, and I'm not going to watch that video, or I'm not going to do this or do that, but let me just take a couple of minutes and just spend some time with you, because I love you.
Yeah.
What if you, like David and I, you know, we're married. What if, like, we would go on, like, when it's our anniversary, we'd go on, like, whatever, a 2 or 3 day trip, and we would just go away somewhere, and we would just talk and have a great time and blah, blah, blah. Just wonderful time. But then, like, all the rest of the year, we just don't talk.
Right.
We just coexist. Live in the life together, but we just don't even talk to each other about anything. We're just together.
Yeah.
Right? But then, like, but then the next year it'll be our anniversary, or maybe, like, yeah, in a couple of months, we'll just go away together, and then we'll just talk and talk. We'll go out on a date, and we'll just talk. That would be so dry and so not how it's meant to be. And it's the same way in our walk with God.
So good.
And that's why whether you do it every day, and maybe it's just for you to say, this week, I'm going to, just 3 days, God, I'm going to spend some time with you. And the best time I have with the Lord, I'll just be honest with you, is when I could be doing something else, like maybe it's in the evening and it's my downtime and I could be reading, which I love to do, or I could be watching a PBS show, which I love to do, all those nerdy things, or reading a Wikipedia page. But instead of all those things, I put all that stuff down and I'm like, God, I'm just going to spend this next 30 minutes with just you. And I put on some worship music and I just sing and I just pray and I just walk and I just spend it. Like, it's like God's presence, whoo, comes in the room. Because why? I'm choosing him. I'm choosing him. And that's what this is all about, is choosing him. So what does that look like? What works for me? Like in the, my schedule now allows me some time in the mornings. And so I will get up in the morning and I'll do kind of the morning things I have to do to kind of get everything started in the day. And then I'll go into my office and I have my Bible. I have a Bible app. This year I have a new journal, and every year I kind of try to get a little something that I can write things down in. I'm not a huge journaler. I'll jot down thoughts that God gives me. I don't write like whole pages and paragraphs. I don't necessarily write out all my prayers. Sometimes I do, but mostly I just jot down like thoughts as things are kind of coming to me. But for some people, journaling is huge, and so if you're a writer, that helps you write. But my time with God, I'll pray. We have Spotify Premium, and so I've made my 2020 devotion time playlist.
Yeah.
So I'll get in there, I'll start my playlist that I put of all the songs that, like, right now are taking me there. You know what I mean? And so they're on my playlist, and I'll hear new songs. Maybe it'll be, hey, listen to this song. And that goes on the playlist, you know? And so I'll put my playlist on. I'll start to just maybe worship. I'll pray. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, and there'll already be a song in my mind. And so I'll start there. And then I'll just do that, and I'll just listen, and I'll just worship. And then I'll talk to God about the things that are bothering me or things that are going on, or even just, like, just sometimes just so much gratitude. Then I'll go, and then I'll sit down, and I'll open up my YouVersion, and I'll read through my devotionals, and I'll write things down. And then I'll get out my journal and maybe jot down. It's not the same every day. But you know what it is? Every day is every day I'm spending time with him. And we're creating moments together, you know. So.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And I love it. She'll come in there and tell me, oh, this is what, you know, especially this season of fasting and prayer, that we're doing. It's just been really rich. Some of the stuff that she's getting, I think, I was like, wow, you should preach that. But we'll leave that alone. I just want to read something. This is a new book that we're having our leadership team read. You guys are going, staff? What? We're staff? But this is what we're reading. We're reading through. It's this book called Simple Devotion. This book is, this book addresses all the things that we're talking about this morning. And it talks about like what the importance of prayer and importance of our own personal time with God. And it addresses the big elephant in the room that hardly anybody has a consistency. And it says, it's called Simple Devotion, Answering the Radical Call. And so when he talks about radical call, he's not talking about, just think of any radical person. He talks about the simplicity of the radical call is your daily time with God. And that's the key to a radical life. And let me just read something that he says about, there's so much good stuff in there. Actually, do we have these books?
Yeah, they're in the lobby. People want to pick them up.
So yeah, so if you could just, $10, grab one of these books before.
Lolly will be in the lobby right outside.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. I didn't know that was a thing. Okay, cool. So yeah, if you want to grab one of these, if you don't, there's only like 9 of them left. So it's called Simple Devotion. It's by Micah Woods, Micah and Samuel Bentley. These are some of our guys that we go see at the ramp. And some of our what's that? Yeah, Wesley said they're really good. So I guess Wesley's seal of approval. And actually, Wesley is actually going through this book. And some of the teenagers and our youth leaders are going. So this is a thing. This is a thing for our church. Amen? That's what I'm saying. This is a thing. Let me read an excerpt with my glasses. It says this. It says, some of you guys, where did your glasses, maybe you started wearing glasses? Yeah, well, I just started changing my font on my computer screen. So, praise the Lord. So y'all are still a little blurry, but it's all good. So it says this, and it talks about, he talks about what is your prayer time. It says, when we use words like prayer, devotion, and secret place, we're not exclusively referring to the action of petition or request. So what he's saying is, a lot of times our prayer requests are just nothing but like a grocery list of things for God to do, right? This is your to-do list for me, God. Please check these off when you get a moment, right? So we're not just talking about your petitions, right? It can include that. But this is what he says. Petition is part of devotion, but devotion in the secret place is not exclusively petition. By simple devotion, we refer to the activities done in the secret place that draw us closer to the Father. That draw us closer to the Father. Activities like worship, petition, repentance, meditation, praise, journaling, Bible studies, and other things. Whatever you do in your private time, so that's why we can't just stay up here and say, this is how you do your private time. This is how you do your secret place time, right? I remember there's a story in here where one of the girls from the school came up to Micah and said, hey, I'm really just not doing my quiet time like I should. He says, well, what are you doing? He goes, well, lately I've just been worshiping God. It's like, that is your quiet time, right? That is your, that works, that counts, right? Check it, right? That counts. Like, just times where you are drawing closer to the Father, right? And ideally, there's some impartation happening as you draw closer to the Father. The principle of God is this. If you draw near to God, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And Julie says it. How do you say it real quick? Do you say it like from desire to?
Oh, yeah. Actually, this is from the book, too. It goes from discipline to desire to delight when you spend time with God.
Say it again.
It's discipline, desire, your discipline of God, I'm just gonna seek you. I'm gonna seek you. And you may be like, that's getting you up in the morning or turning off that or at night before you go to bed or just want, whatever, not doing that one last thing so you could just spend a couple minutes with God. That's the discipline part of it. But then that discipline will birth a desire in your heart for more and for God. Yeah. And then that desire, man, it goes into delight where you're like, This is it. This is life. This is living.
That's so good.
It goes John 17:3, Jesus is praying. He says, this is eternal life. And I, growing up my whole life, I've heard that, man's quest for the meaning of life in, the scriptures. That's it. This is eternal life, that you may know God and the one he sent, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
We have an opportunity to know the creator of the universe. That is what a devotional time is about.
Yeah.
And what that looks like for anybody, whether that through song or journaling or prayer or running and dialoguing with him, just like Nike that and just do it. Like figure out what works for you. Don't make it a checklist. Have grace for yourself when you miss
right,
it.
Right, right.
I used to have a science teacher. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Don't like just start somewhere.
Yeah.
And you will reap so much life in your life from it.
Go ahead. Let Craig have the last word.
Just listen to this real quick. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Verse 11 of Psalm 119, thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 13, with my lips I have told of all thy ordinances of thy mouth. Verse 16, I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Verse 21, thou dost rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wanders from thy commandments. 24, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 25, revive me according to thy word. Verse 42, so I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in the word. Verse 46, I also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. Verse 49, remember the word to thy servant in which thou hast made me hope. Verse 52, I have remembered thine ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word.
Yeah.
The word, the word, the word, the word, the word. And
yeah.
It is so, so good what Jessica said. Just find the way. To let the, listen, God wants to get his word into you.
Yeah.
He wants to help you in every aspect of your life. Take advantage of it. Get in his word. And whatever that one word is that jumps off the page, say, God, you said, this is what you said. And Pastor Tom, I'm praying this back. God, I want to keep my way pure. I want to keep it according to that word. So help me understand your word.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, just ask him. But find time. Make it. Why? Because he loves you and wants to spend time with you. So stop and spend time with him.
Yeah. 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 Will you hit the keyboards for me, Craig? Yeah. Brian, you have anything else you want to share? No, you're good?
It's awesome.
Well, let me just say this. Y'all can do whatever you want to do. If you feel awkward, you can leave. Yeah. Let's all stand together. We're going to close a little bit differently today, and here's the thing. Julie says it like this, and I repeat it all the time. You are as close to God as you choose to be. You are as close to God as you choose to be. And let me just say, your anointing will increase. The presence of God on you will increase. Your ability to flow in the gifts. You want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? It doesn't happen one experience to the other. It happens as you continually, like Brian said, like as you seek after the Lord and as you pray and you hear God's voice. He said, I can't get over that. I learned to hear God's voice by my own personal prayer time. So what does that look like for you? Bow your heads with me just for a second, just you and just for no distractions. What does that look like for you? Like, what does that look like for you? For some of you, it's finding a devotional on YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, or YouTube. YouTube will work. Find a devotional. I don't do that because sometimes I get distracted and I'll start YouTubing, all kind of other stuff. Starts a bad train. But for some of you, it's just finding a devotional on the YouVersion. Some of you, you need to put your phone down and actually start looking at a book because you get too distracted because of the temptation is too great. So I'll read my devotion, then I'll watch, a crazy dog video. And then you forget everything that you just like. But what is that? Like, whatever you give yourself wholly to will grow. If you give yourself wholly to the things of God will grow in you. Right? I want you to sense that pull of the Holy Spirit this morning is what I want you to do. I want you to sense that drawing of God saying, just come. Just come. Spend time. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Come on, just you and Him. And then you'll be able to say in troubled times, because you've already sunk your roots down deep. When the storms come, your roots have grown. And you will be able to say it as well with my soul. And it won't be a strain. It won't be just saying it out of faith, but you'll say, no, it's well. From a place of strength. Not trying to get to a place of strength. It is well. Sing that chorus one time, Janine. It is well. Someone we'll sing it.
It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
So God, we look to You this morning. We sense Your drawing. We sense that You're drawing us towards Yourself. We sense, God, that You're doing a work and You want us to grow this year. Father, I pray, God, that You would just so pull us, Lord. God, I pray, God, that we would find time. God, I pray, God, in the busyness of our life, God, we would find time. Father, to spend quality time with You. And God, I pray for strategies. I pray for things to do. God, I pray for understanding as we seek after You. And I break every spirit that would try to condemn us. Every spirit that would try to say, I've tried that and it didn't work. Every spirit to say, I'm not good at this. Father, I pray, God, that You would do a deep work inside of us. Because God, we need Your grace in these times. God, we need Your grace. And we need Your help. God, we thank You for it. We love You, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's do this. Amen. Let's do this. Let's be people of God that are so full of God that when we walk into this place on a Sunday, man, we're ready to go. Like, let's just bring it, right? Let's just ready. I'm not even waiting. You know, Brian, you guys got to catch up. You got to catch up with us, right? I remember you go to the ramp, and they're like, we've been praying for the last 2 hours, the ramp team. And they come up on that platform. They're ready to go. And for the first few songs, you're like, whoa, we're trying to catch up, right? Let's just stay in that place, amen? Stay in that secret place. Stay in that place of strength, amen? Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much. We're going to grow this year. It's going to be a great year. Super excited. We're going to talk a little bit more about this subject next week. And but till then, keep seeking the Lord. Men's meeting next Sunday. And tonight we have youth. God bless you guys. Have an amazing week. If you need prayer for anything, please come down and we'll have some people up here to pray for you. God bless you guys.